Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
Sticking in the back door with Daddy Mike C. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans of your guys.
Go for it.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about this group.
That's my Count Orlok voice. It's not good, but that's how I hear it in my head.
Nice.
Nosferatu was the horniest movie that I've ever seen in my life. And all I will say is this, because everybody's been waiting to hear my thoughts on this fucking movie. So I told them, wait till the podcast. So this is me starting off the podcast strong. Excuse me. When they created Nosferatu as a way to tell the story of Dracula without telling the story of Dracula, if you will, they created Count Orlok, and Count Orlok was a different kind of vampire than a Dracula vampire. He was a rat vampire. He was a creepy vampire. He was a didn't have sexual mystique vampire. And to put that back into the story of Nosferatu and make Count Orlok this like sex figure, still disgusting, mind you. I didn't like it in that aspect. That did not need to happen. I think that they combined too many of the Dracula iconography with Nosferatu to create this new Count Orlok. I did like what they did with the story. There was a lot of changes that I think were cool. It was interesting to change the names and things like that. But the one thing I did not like that they changed is to make it like a very sexual story. Now, I think a lot of people agreed with me, so I think that I'm not wrong in saying that they didn't need that element. But at the same time, I think there was probably this pressure of making it more modernized, and what's more modern than adding sexual components into it? Whatever. I also did not think that they needed to do like a shout out to Vlad the Impaler with the fucking mustache. That was the most distracting thing I've ever seen in my fucking life. All I saw was a fucking like Chester the Molester Dracula type figure. It was so weird. I hated that part of it. Somebody was like, I thought it was cool to do a shout out. I was like, you know what? They could have like flashed, like done like, because they have like cool imagery.
Okay.
Where things were changed, like, you know, they could have done something where like Count Orlok didn't have the mustache, but then in a couple scenes, maybe like they flashed over him with like, just for a second, he had the mustache, right? Like they could have done it like that, but instead they included this fucking Vlad the Impaler like mustache that made it so distracting. It bordered on hilarity. There were moments where I was giggling and I'm like, Nosferatu is one of my favorite fucking movies.
I remember.
I saw it on Halloween with a live score playing. Like, my hamster was Count Orlok. I have Count Orlok tattooed on my body. I like Nosferatu. It's a favorite of mine. And the fact that they made me almost giggle through it kind of fucked it up for me.
Right on.
It was one of those things where...
So it wasn't as scary as the first?
No, I mean, it's not even that it wasn't scary. It was that it was creepy in some of the wrong ways. I didn't like some of the story changes, but I liked other changes. And I think that they missed the mark in a few places that made it almost comical. So it took me out of enjoyment. Like there was a scene. Oh, and also they made Count Orlok more into a cuck. And it was interesting. Like there was this one scene where I won't give away too much, but there was a sex scene where they were basically like implying that Count Orlok was watching, and he was, you know, they were like, yeah, Count Orlok, watch us fuck, you know, this weird, cucky moment, and I don't know, and then there was a sex scene that didn't need to happen. It was weird.
There are so many movies where sex scenes don't need to happen. I'm always saying that with action films. And like we out of nowhere, like all of a sudden there's like a love affair. And
Dracula typically didn't, even if sex was implied or sexuality was implied, the penetration was typically the biting. So Count Orlok bites titties in this instead of necks. It's so sexual. There was also like guy on guy sexuality. It was just
so they fused a little of like a True Blood like energy into it a little bit.
Right. So like I said, like they took the Dracula being a sexy character trope, and they added it to the Count Orlok. Count Orlok was never sexy.
Never
a time when Count Orlok was so.
Well, maybe for somebody.
But right, but. I'm talking about the 1922 classic Nosferatu. I know that they took the story of Dracula, right? So I understand that there could have been like sexy components, but they didn't do that. It was the woman that was drawn to the Dracula character was drawn to him, and it was implied that it was because of like, oh, like my heart's a flutter. It was not shown on the screen, and I understand why, because of the time change and all that. But
sorry.
Also. The like it just wasn't a sexy movie. So for them to once again take this the rat, because when I've studied vampires in literature, there's different types of vampires, right? Okay, it is the sexual Dracula, and then there is the rat like Count Orlok that doesn't have that sexual mystique, even though it might be a little teensy bit implied through biting. But the biting is the penetration. So to show me sex with Dracula or with Count Orlok was unnecessary. I don't need to see actual sex with Count Orlok. It just didn't make sense in my head. And some of the people I talked to agreed. Some of them were like, oh, well, whatever. But that's all I'll have to say. I could go on for a very long time and nitpick each part of the fucking movie and talk about how I did or didn't like the changes and da-da-da-da. But I think that my number one gripe was the sex and sexuality in it, and my number two gripe was the mustache.
So overall, I want to implement this new rating system. How many screws would you give it? Five being like the perfect amount of screw versus like obviously zero screws being no fucks given to this.
I would say like 3.2 screws. Yes. So like, yeah. Like three screws and two small nails. That's my rating.
Well done. Oh my goodness.
And so now everybody that's been fucking asking me to yap at them about, because I was like, I have so much to say. So let me say it in this podcast. And
perfect.
So that's that.
Your one stop shopping for Felicia Rose right here at the Spirit.
I'm like, I can't bother to type this out more than once. I am going to tell you to listen to my podcast.
No, I love it.
How are you doing post-birth?
I'm good. I can finally sleep on my side, which is making it's so weird after going from like sleeping in 2-hour intervals because like I don't sleep well on my back. I do a lot of things well on my back, but not sleeping. No. So I'm feeling more like rested, even though like I wake up kind of surprised. Like I think I've only been sleeping for 2 hours and like 6 hours has gone by. So, and I mean, I'm in general like a six hour person these days. You know, it's funny what they say about like aging when you like 10 years ago, if I had 6 hours, I would have said the day was going to be fucked and shot and I was going to be exhausted and grumpy. But now,
yeah, you were an 8-hour guy before.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean,
at least you're an 8 to 7.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know. And I guess like have such a regular bladder, it doesn't matter what time I go up, I'm waking up at like 7:05 to like piss. So, you know, working
hard to get back to sleep at 7:05. That's a tough time.
It
is. I like to go to bed early enough that my depending on how much I need to pee, but like. My bladder wakes me up around 3 because that's a perfect time for me to get back to bed. Whereas, like, if I'm waking up at, like, between the 5 and 7, I'm not. Well, except for today because I was bleeding through my pants all night.
That's all.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm well. I went to, like, the big follow-up appointment where they see you halfway through your recovery. And, you know, there came a moment where the stupid binder thing that I'm wearing to keep my guts in place or whatever. They're like, will you open it and show me? So I like all flasher style, I'm showing like my belly.
Like one hand on each side, like da 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 da. Yeah.
I resisted, like you resisted with your gyno to make like a dirty joke. Like I resisted in this case, but my I'm calling them my bullet holes. So I have four like really distinct little like entry points, if you will, and they're super healed. All the like weird surgical glue has finally fallen off. So, you know, my belly hair is still growing back ever so slowly. Like I said, it took me 40 something years to get that belly hair. So I'm still mourning my happy trail being like lost to history. I'm hoping.
Mourning my hair.
Sometime before I'm 80, it might have grown back again. So we shall see. But yeah, I'm doing good. I got, you know, so the weirdest thing, yeah, they... I went to the doctor's on Monday because it was like my prep follow-up. So, and at the prep follow-up, they were, you know, offering us whatever vaccines we were due for. So because I used to smoke cigarettes and they have that in my chart somewhere, the conversation came up about like, you know, now it's recommended for people over, I think, 45 to get a pneumonia vaccine if they have been a smoker in the past. So in my knowledge in the past, we recommended that for people over 55. So I was feeling like something about it for a minute, but, and then.
I'm sure with like COVID and stuff, like shit's changed.
Thought, you know what? It's fine. You know, better safe than sorry. I certainly don't want like a bout of pneumonia. You know, and obviously this is like viral pneumonia. Now they're recommending new PrEP guidelines if you're on PrEP to get a meningitis vaccine, which, yeah, people should be getting in general. There's been a few like upticks in it in the queer male communities. So, you know, I was fine, but haven't been able to lift my arm for like since it happened. It's like, it was such a painful fucking injection, man. And it's so bad. Like, you know, I'm already like, I can't really bend. So like all my ability to do sexual things is really being limited by my health. Like I can't like move my arm. Healed.
Like the perfect little like face fuck hole though.
Yeah, I can basically just fucking lay there.
Yeah, it's just lay there with your mouth open, you know?
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. I mean, you know.
Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, my partners, like, require a little bit more activity from me. I have a skill set.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry that your partner doesn't like to fuck you in your sleep. Like, sorry, that I had you for my sex. Thanks.
Well, I didn't say that.
Just kidding.
Oh shit. But yeah, so you know, I'm starting to feel myself a little bit. Another semester has begun at this institution, and so you know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going. I'm in a border state, so there's mass hysteria here. And people are doing like and I think it's good. This is where you see like community really like connect and like everybody's doing like ice watch to like warn people what's going on. And like there's been like four or five false warnings, unfortunately, that were like then verified, you know. So our governor is in like heavy defiance, so it would be really interesting if she becomes like a political prisoner at some point, because she's pretty hardcore.
Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm glad I'm in this state right now with like it being like really, you know, we don't put up with this kind of shit. Like, you know, every human is a human and all that jazz. So, but it's definitely, you know, it'd be impossible not to comment on it being a little bit freaky times right now, but like also a really good time to like be dissentful and like supportive and like make it known which side are you on, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this dystopian feeling is going to get people moving in a way that maybe the complacent weren't, because now the complacent are being affected. You know, a lot of people were like, I heard, a lot of people in my friend circle were like, I didn't vote because it's not even going to matter. And it
does matter. We're like 4 days in, baby, and you're already losing shit. You're already losing rights. You're already losing like opportunity. Like, go fuck yourself. So that's all I'll say. But
and what I hope,
if you were one of the people that were complacent before, and now you realize that
get in the
ye only have an option, maybe you start to mobilize and you start to give a shit a little bit more. That's all I'll say.
Exactly.
You know, within the boundaries of what you're able to do is what I mean.
Oh, exactly. It's like, you know, I know doom scrolling is one thing, but like I'm really been paying attention to people's doom posting. Like, hey, post information. Don't post the sky is falling. Like, you know, post and make people aware of like the information about what's happening. This sky falling stuff, it's not helping anybody. Like, I'm not saying don't be aware, don't be informed, and don't, you know, put things up that like help people, but like the sky is falling is just it's going to make it harder for us to connect and have solidarity online, because I'm starting to feel super avoidant of scrolling through anything. I mean, it was bad enough on the TikTok day. I can't tell you. It started to become a joke how many people were posting screenshots of TikTok being down. I couldn't like even like fathom it. At first, I thought it was the same post I was seeing over and over again. And I just couldn't believe. Like, I'm talking shit, but I'm talking shit for a reason. Like, we need to like have like meaningful, helpful, organized thoughts. Kind of like post thoughts about how to like handle the police when you get pulled over. Post thoughts about how to handle ICE. Post like information resources for people. You know, you can post stuff about like what is happening, but like the news alone is like 24/7 Trump again. I was like telling my partner, I was like, well, CNN will be happy, their ratings will pack up.
Because my friends that are school teachers for public schools, they all received a letter saying how to handle ICE coming to the bus stops to grab kids. There was just other how to handle when your kid is going to get taken away by ICE, like in your classroom and shit like that. And I'm just like, I no words, you know, like I just don't, this is a dystopia and it's only going to get worse if people do not get together and figure out how to make it better. So just all I'll say is, if you need resources and you don't know where to go for them, which obviously there's so much information out there. We get it. Just, you know, you can come to us and we can help you with whatever we can find for you. So.
And my only other comment would be, this is just like important. You are nothing to any kind of movement if you're in prison. So I hate to be the type that says, hey, be careful what you put on, but like there was a really interesting interview with Ronan Farrow on The View, which is not my favorite show, as everybody knows. But I do think it was very important to note, like, there's lots of documentation showing that, like, certainly ICE and immigration have, like, been collecting social media posts since 2015. So be wary of what you're putting out there. I also read a thing that they're scanning posts about anything negative about healthcare. And I'm not saying you shouldn't post your mind about it, but be careful with how you word it, because we are in a new era and it's better to be safe and sorry. And you're not helping anybody if you're in jail.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
With that said.
Exactly.
That said. You did a bunch of wrestling cert recently.
Yeah, whatever.
Did you have a good time?
I'm back in the sign game.
Woo-hoo. Ooh, I saw that.
That's fun.
It's a sign game.
You know, whatever. It's one of those things where, like, I don't know. I'm often duplicated, but never. Nice. I'm often imitated, never duplicated. Cool. I'm fucking tired, but yeah, it was fun. The best thing that I took from that is that, you know, I went with my friend Danny, and you know, she's very, very famous, and I think because of that, a lot of people don't like approach her because it's intimidating. So it was nice to be like, have us together, because I am more accessible. I have less followers, obviously. I have significantly less followers. I'm more
also it was in Manhattan, so like I'm around there more often. So like a lot of these people are people I've met before or that wanted to meet me. So it was nice to kind of, you know, I don't know. I feel like more people came up to her. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. Maybe this is just in my head, but because like I am the loser. So
but it was kind of nice because it kind of, I haven't really been to a lot of wrestling in the last couple of years. I have been kind of hiding because of lawsuit stuff and just feeling unwelcome or unhappy about going and seeing the product. And I saw two shows, or actually I went to three technically, but I watched two wrestling shows that were super fun to be there for, and I had a great time, and it kind of like restored my love of in-person wrestling, and I'm excited to go to more. So I'm happy about that. Nice. So you'll see me out and about. If you're listening and you've never met me, feel free to walk up to me and introduce yourself, because I'm no longer like in headlines like I used to be. There's not a lot of that happening as it just in the past. It doesn't bother me. Come say hey. One fun thing though I did want to say is I didn't know this guy. I don't know if Danny knew him or whatever, but there was this guy in the audience that was like a fin dom. Like he wanted to be financially dominated. So he kept buying us drinks. And every time I needed a drink, I'd point to him. Like he was like rows away. I'd point to him and he'd get up and scurry and get us a drink. And he was super sweet and super kind. And there was nothing better. I love a good financial domination situation. He was like, what else can I get you? I'm like, look at you. I love this. So
Findom is like that paid pig kind of like energy or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Like he like drain your bank style. But like this was just in the form of getting drinks. But those drinks were $17 each. And I got one for myself. And then I sat down and then this guy popped up as getting Danny drinks, then was like, I'll get you drinks too. I'm like, what a sweetie. So, I gave him a little lip service a few times about, you know, I was like, you know, I gave him a couple lines that I think he would probably come in his pants too. And, oh, wait, my doorbell's ringing. Hold on. I need to get my toilet paper. Hold on.
I hope he's hot. Or she. Or them. Let's find out when Felicia returns.
All right, but
so how later. How sexy are they? Were they? You paused them up.
Yeah. How sexy was who? The guy at the door of the pay pig? Oh, I don't know. He's downstairs.
Oh, right.
They would all come up, losers. So yeah, that was cool. I love meeting customers in real life. There was a couple people that walked up to me that were like, hey, I'm blah blah blah, like they gave me their online handle, and then I realized that they were customers.
Oh, fun.
Which is cool. I really like meeting my customers. There's something really hot about it when I'm like in a live show fucking myself and there's like a whole list of guys I've met. And I'm like, I don't know. It's more, you know how, okay, the same way I'm accessible. I'm at shows. You can come meet me, blah, blah, blah. It's that same level of like tangibility. Like this is a real person with a face that I've hugged before.
Right.
And now you're tipping me to watch my pussy drip cum. Like that's hot. That's all hot. I love that. I am a big exhibitionist. I like being watched. I like being in the presence of people that have come to me. I was in the presence of people that I fucked. It's hot. Like, I like being in a room and being like, I fucked you. I fucked you. I fucked you. You watch me fuck myself. You watch me fuck myself. You know, that is like, and it's all like kind of like hush hush until, you know, they say something about it. But like, I don't know. It's like a dirty little secret. Like, ooh, you're all waiting to see next time I go live, or you're all going to go home and buy my car. I don't know. That's hot.
That is hot.
And then I also did a mini little photo shoot with Danny where we did like a couple little cute video. Like I spanked her, and then we did a video where we like bounced together and we put our titties together and shit and some photos. So, you know, it was a good overall weekend. I had a great time, and it was fun to just, you know, hang out with one of my best gals and just do, you know, wrestling and slutty stuff. It was cute. So that was that. And then also, after being celibate since May, I believe it was May or June. I can't remember exactly, but it was a long time. I've decided that not only am I ready to fuck again, but I'm ready to film it again, too. So, look out for that. I want to make some more boy-girl content. Honestly, like, I miss being fucked on camera. It's like, it's the same idea. Like, I like being an exhibitionist. I like, but because it's been so long since I've been having regular sex that like I'm disconnected from my body. I need to. So I have a couple friends I've had sex with in the past that I'm like, hey, I need somebody that I can like trust to like
warm up with.
Maybe I'm not good at blowing it anymore. I don't know. You get self-conscious. Like women, especially, we're always critiqued on every little thing we fucking do. And I get really self-conscious about like performance because there's an expectation being a sex worker. And I think a lot of people don't understand. Like I have been not sexual with humans for at least 3 years, aside from like onesie twosies here and there, you know, very limited amount. So I need to kind of reconnect with like fucking myself is one thing, but like I need to reconnect with my body when it comes to being with other people. So I made out with the girl I have a crush on Friday in front of everybody. And that was hot. She's hot. Like I'm trying like, but you know, what's the hottest part about that is she's all like, you know, whenever you're ready, Felicia, and we can just hang out as friends for like, you know, she like, I always forget that, like, not I always forget, but sometimes you have to remember that women are so hot and like the way that they handle things is so fucking hot. And she just saying all the right things. Like she was like, I want to make love to you. And I'm oh, yes. Whereas like, I don't know, I feel like a guy would be like weird about that. Like, what does she mean? Like, it doesn't mean she's going to fall in love with me. She wants to do sex in a different way with me. And I'm like, oh, yes.
I'll make love to you.
And we both have like the same taste in men. So I'm like, okay, her and I are going to totally fuck. And then we're going to totally have threesomes. And I can like feel that shit, you know?
Oh my God, that's
so hot.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just excited to like, I'm scared. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared. But I'm just excited to re-explore. It's almost like I'm like a virgin again and I'm coming into this new sexual awakening that I am really excited to like just get my hands into. Even like I want to start slow, right? Yeah. I want to start with like kissing and maybe like heavy petting and maybe doing some like dry humping, which is one of my favorites because it's just one of my favorites. Like I love humping. I love dry humping. I love anything that reminds me of being young and doing this shit, right? And like maybe that, maybe teasing, maybe like it, you know, maybe just some titty sucking and like some shit like that, and then eventually maybe, you know, oral, and then if you know, I don't want to just jump in. I want it to feel like I'm really like exploring my sexuality properly and not just like, okay, I'm a hole, fuck it and fill it,
right?
Which is hot too, but I'm not there yet. So I really wanted to come onto this podcast and kind of announce that whether you are in line waiting to fuck me, whether you are possibly interested in paying to fuck me because I'm considering doing in-person work again, whether you are waiting to download a video that I make with a new person, whatever that might be, like, this year is going to be the year of Felicia gets her fucking pussy filled. And I'm so excited about it.
I love like
I'm ready.
The motion.
I'm ready. I know. This is when I get excited, I do nail stuff now. Like that's like one of my things. So my nails are longer now. So.
I have these friends, Spanish friends, and they say like when they go like this and go mucosa, meaning like, you know, nice and wet for an idea.
Mucus?
Yeah. Like pussy wetness. It's beautiful.
Perfect.
Mucosa.
Mucosa.
Yeah.
Delicioso.
Qué rico.
Well, yeah. So I know that like that's a lot of like just wait, but I'm like not. So it's funny because yesterday morning? I was like, I think I just need a fuck, and then I got my period, which makes sense because like. Right before my period and the first day of my period, I'm climbing the walls. I want to have sex so bad. So it makes sense that like I was like, yeah, let's go, you know.
Nice.
And then I'm walking home and I'm bleeding in my pants, not realizing. Because for the record, my period changes every month. I get a different one, a different whatever. So I never know when it's coming. It's just like, pickle surprise. So I was like, why am I so like ready to like call a friend over, you know? And then the funniest part is a couple people that have been wanting to hang out with me that I've been kind of not blowing off, but just being like, I'm not in the mood to like ray around humans. They were like,
oh, when can I see you? And I was like, honestly, I don't really have a lot of, like, I'm paying double rent 2 months in a row now. It was originally just this month. Now I'm doing it for next month too. So like, I don't have a lot of time to fuck around. Yeah. So I literally said, so if you want to come over and either like hold the camera, offer your fingers or offer your dick on camera, like that's really the only way you could see me. You know, I'll give you like 5 minutes of aftercare of hanging out if you want, but like that's about it, right? And every single person I told that to was like, oh, absolutely. It will essentially be a contest. I was like, wonderful.
I can offer you a chair or shoes.
Yeah, I'm glad that I'm going to foster deeper friendships by including all of my friends in my content because I don't have time to hang out as a friend. It has to be sexual. But I feel like such a stunad. But, you know, listen, I'm like ready. I'm ready to get fucked on camera by my friends, by what, you know, I never am interested in doing like on set porn. I don't want to work for a big company. I want to work for myself. I want to make porn that looks like I am enjoying fucking my friends. And that's exactly what I am doing. So why not just make this realistic style porn where people can feel like they're a part of it? It's like, once again, it's a scenario that's tangible. It's a person, place, and thing that feels like it could be real for you. And it technically could be, because if I do in-person work again, if you have the money, you could possibly get time with me, right? So these are those things that I'm so excited to kind of jump back into. And I want to take it slow and chill, but I'm also like ready to pull out the camera and go live and show people like how I get fucked.
That's amazing. And so it's funny. It's funny you should mention porn because, like, so you know me. I'm always like visual porn has like I'm still very inexperienced with visual porn when all is said and done. And so I've made like a concentrated effort to like watch it more. You know, and have some playlists like put together and watch some things on like random.
Playlist?
Yeah. And so There's this queer porn star. I think his name is Alex Roman, and he's kind of known for like getting like railed by really, really huge like penises, and like he has like a beautiful, beautiful hole, like, you know, and it's for people who like penetration, like seeing the hole like gape and like all that stuff. I would say it's a little bit more on like the gapey side, you know. And I'm watching it and like it's impressive, you know, but I always have my critique. Like I feel like he sucks dick a little lazily, but in all fairness, he's putting these like insanely huge dicks in his mouth that are gonna go in his butt, and like they look really complicated to suck. Oh, like I'm sure his butthole receives, but like he also doesn't like make any sounds, and he doesn't even like look to re. I mean, like, and I'm talking impaled. These are like insanely large dicks, and he doesn't even like react. Like they just slide in. And I imagine as like a big dick dude, this is like the perfect like hole to fuck. So you probably don't even care because like you're so used to people being like, too big, pull it out, I can't take it. And like they slam him hard and he takes it, but really no reaction. So I'm like, as hot as it is seeing like that kind of extreme penetration, I would still like to see a reaction. You know,
do you think maybe that's a part of like the appeal that he's almost just like, oh, I'm such a slam pig whore,
probably,
that like it doesn't even faze me? Do you think like that's been sort of a critique that he maybe took and quick as far as performance wise?
So, and like I'm a horrible,
that's not the norm, right? If you watch porn, you understand that like that wouldn't be the norm. So maybe he's trying to like deviate from the norm by just being like, yes, I am literally a fucked.
And sure. So I guess I'm more of like the taste, because this is what I'm like kind of like figuring out like in different porn tastes that I like part of that. But like I want to hear like that whine moan that like, that like, oh, you know, like almost like can't take it, but still takes it. And then like moans like
that's the noise I make.
I know. I remember.
Oh, the whistle's coming. Oh, she must be taking a big drink of mine.
Exactly. And I mean, I will say I'm always amazed. I cannot get over like the sheer like volume of like porn genres available. Like I watched this other one, which is like these hot daddies with like these younger guys. Not like, I wouldn't even say twinkie, but like they're of the daddy age that like anything under 40, like there's like a contrast. And like my favorite part of them is seeing how like horny the younger guy is for the older guy. Like I'm talking like so excited about like sucking an older guy that they're like just have a raging heart on throughout the whole experience and like these insane makeout sessions. And like I'm not really like the daddy like fun like genre. I like usually, you know, like primos and shit like that, you know, like two dudes and whatever. So like, but like seeing like the thirst from like the younger dude for the older dude was pretty hot. So
do you think that thirst comes from like an actual like real life, like they really wanted one of their uncles or cousins,
I mean,
daddies or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, this is me playing out that fantasy.
I do wonder that.
I don't know why I have to go psychology.
No. And I'm the same way. So like, I'm very like cautious because like, you know, it's one thing when you're like asking a partner in person, like kind of trying to understand like what turns them on and where their fantasies are coming from, just to make sure you're not like having trauma sex or whatever, you know? Versus like pornography, which I used to like, as someone coming from trauma, I used to like think about those things, like wonder those things a lot. And I think maybe that like also like deterred my porn experiences in some ways, you know? So like, but I'm trying this time around to like watch it and like, you know, it's one thing with studio porn to think about how exploited people are, but it's another with like the amateur genres to feel like a little bit comfortable that people are like putting this together and they're doing porn that they, I don't want to say necessarily enjoy, but like porn that they can like get into to like create convincing amateur sex scenes or whatever, right? I make no assumptions. But
yeah, I mean, but there is sort of a level of assumption that like if you're in an amateur setting, you're probably more in control what the scene is going to look like than say in a studio.
So is that right? Okay. And that, like, you know, the incentives aren't like cocaine and Viagra all day long. I mean, I don't mean to stereotype the porn industry. I just like knowing people who have been in porn and all these things. I, you know, studio porn, especially queer studio porn. It's like, you know, I knew a friend of a friend that started like Cobra like back in the day, like who, you know, and so like you would hear about these like photo shoots that they would invite like their friends to watch like these twinks have sex, and like just thinking like that's so shady, like you're not part of the production team and like what you're going as like a favor, creepy. Anyway, so yeah, so I'm gonna try to keep expanding to kind of like opine on some of these things, you know, because typically, like from a pleasure standpoint, not from like a, you know, judgy political standpoint. Yeah. <so.
laughs> It's funny because it, interestingly enough, I almost have had a similar moment where somebody that I flirt with, they started as a customer and now like we've transcended just to flirting, and they know I have an Ava Angelina thing, and they were like, hey, I'm getting off to some porn right now. Do you want to see what I'm getting off to? And honestly, in the past, like, nah, like it doesn't, like, if it's not me, it's like, eh, I don't care. And this time I was open to it and I was like, yeah, send it to me. And I watched it and I was like, that's hot. But like, I don't know. It's just, I guess, I don't know. I feel like the female gaze and the male gaze and the non-binary gaze is all, when I say gaze, I always think I'm saying G. So not gaze. The female gaze and the male gaze. Anyways, so it's just different, you know, I like different things. Yeah. So it's interesting to see like what guys are watching versus what I'm watching and things like that. But
Yeah, that's
fine. I'm trying to be like, you know, more open about it in general.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I don't think I talked about this last time. I did. I apologize. But I do have a customer that fucks like either pocket pussies or
real dolls,
but like you know, not like the whole body real doll, just like their pussy with the tits. And like we do like sexting sometimes, and they often end their sexting with their iPad is on top of the real doll while they're fucking the pussy of it
with,
and they're watching my bumail.
Gosh, that's evening
so hot. I already told you I like watching guys fuck pocket pussies and real dolls and stuff. Yeah. Like, that's my new fetish recently. Like, we talked about it on this podcast. Go back and listen to it if you want. But that, okay, so no joke. I told them, like, normally I charge for cum tributes because, you know, listen, I don't have unlimited time in my day. If you want to fucking cum for me, you're taking up time. I gotta, you know, give me some money. It's cheap, but it's still like I charge a little bit. And I told this customer because of the way that they do it and present their information. I told them, I was like, you're free forever, baby. Whenever I am in, like anytime you are coming and I'm on your screen, you can send that shit to me because that is so hot.
That's
I'm
so
fucking Rosen. The fact that like my imagery is on top of this pocket pussy that they're fucking. I'm like, that's so hot.
Oh my God.
I don't know what it does something for me. So now I'm basically getting off to my customer's porn.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Like that's my new top watch. I have him pinned in my fucking OnlyFans. Like I literally watch his porn more than anything else. How fucking silly is that? I don't know if it's like, I hope nobody would be like, you're a narcissist. But I like to feel a part of the show. No, fuck though. And it's like, it's almost like getting a custom, right? You're getting your custom. The person says your name. They're doing your fantasy. It's a similar thing. Like, this is already my fetish, is watching a pocket pussy situation. And then on top of it, you're including me in it by using my video to get yourself off. Like,
that's beautiful.
And also, listen, this is my job. So it's almost like a year-end review, right? It's like,
oh my God, that's fine.
You're doing a good job, Felicia. I'm getting off to you, and here's the proof. And like, that's... Oh, like, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have told this buddy that I do anything.
Customer testimonial. Testimonial.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
So that's my new number one watched, is this one customer.
That's beautiful.
And like he's probably like, is this like a rib? Like, does this girl actually like get off? And I yes. Yes. You're listening with
your Jason.
Yes.
There's our valet.
So hot. Oh, have we been talking a long time?
Yeah, well, I'm losing my booth.
Smell bad.
I'm losing my booth.
Oh, I'm losing my... I don't know. Okay, well, thanks for tuning in. I feel like I talked enough about my sloppy puss, and we'll talk more next week. I'll update you guys on what holes I've had filled, if any. So
beautiful.
We love you. Goodbye.
We love you.